The New York Jazz Ska Ensemble with Boogie Stop Shuffle. That's from their album Step Forward. This is Lead Stories. I'm your treat lead, and welcome to Free Your Mind Friday. What is Free Your Mind Friday, some of you may be asking. That's when we suspend our regular program format and open the program that becomes a free-for-all forum that you can choose your topic, but there still are some rules. One is you should have a strong opinion about something, an issue in the news, or something you've had some time to think about and you've come to conclusions about. And you want to share those ideas. You should be able to demonstrate that you've done a little bit of research, that you have a cogent argument to make. It does not matter whether it's pro or con. It matters only that this is what you're thinking, and you want to persuade us, those of us listening to you, that you've come to the right conclusion, and here is why. Now, we do this because we all have to go through training in how you use various forms of media, this particular form being radio. And people can't see you, but they can hear you, and they are listening to what you have to say. And hopefully, you're making sense. You're not just yammering. It's really frustrating when people just have nothing in particular to say and they just keep going and going. Well, that's not going to happen here. By the time you get on air, you should have your topic identified, what position you're taking, and explain why. And if people disagree, we'll know because they'll mention that when their time comes to be on air. The reason we are doing this is a form of training so that everybody gets a leg up on how media, different forms of media, are to be used in order to communicate a particular point of view. If you've listened to people calling in on this program and other programs, from the far right, the not so far right, the dead center, they all have a point of view and they present it. And I am hoping that somebody would say, well, you know, John from Connecticut called and said so and so and so and so, but I disagree. And here's why. That's the idea. So that at any time you find yourself in the middle of an on-air argument, you know how to handle it. It doesn't have to descend into the netherworld where people try to lop each other's heads off. But a cogent argument that has various elements to it, you know, what is your, make a statement as to where it is you're going with what it is you are presenting and why. And in the middle of all of that, you cite some examples to shore up your point. Did you do a good job of it? By the time you hang up, we'll hear about it. When people call in and say, well, I don't know that I agreed with such and such, because he said so, and I have a different, he said this point, and then you say, well, I have a different point of view on that. That's what we're trying to do. So you learn the medium, how to use the medium, and how to become proficient at expressing an opinion. It does not matter whether people agree or disagree. It matters only that you do your job in presenting your opinion and shoring it up. The number to call is 888-874-4888. And Nathaniel from Los Angeles, you start us off today.
Yes, greetings, Yatrice, to you and the PRN audience today on this happy Friday.
Thank you.
I was calling in. I was calling in because I had given myself a homework assignment via you in finding out some information I was talking about a week ago, I think. And when I called on about the Malcolm X, what we remembered and what we could say about how he would say or what he would say about our situation today in the world. And I had talked about how he had said that years ago, America is not a democracy, it's a hypocrisy. And I gave some examples of what I thought was relevant to that. And I said it was a Nissan plant in Missouri, but actually it was in Mississippi, where the white workers said, we don't need a union because we already get all the plum jobs, assignments, and pay. And if the blacks want it, we don't want it. And I said that that was the way that allowed white Americans to sit back and let those capitalists ship all the factories and jobs, good jobs, to China, because they already had all the good jobs, so they don't care. And it makes us a poorer society, both economic-wise, spiritual-wise, and goodwill-wise. Instead of goodwill, we had bad will. We have a lot of bad will in our country. So the author who had went to that place in Mississippi and discovered this, or found out how the dynamics worked, was named Heather McGee. And the book that she had written regarding this issue and others is The Sum of Us, The Color of Change.
So you realize you haven't yet fulfilled your mission.
Help me out here.
We're waiting for your opinion about something.
My opinion is that, you know, the situation that we find ourselves in today regarding how Malcolm X viewed the country is the same, if not worse. And we need to do a lot of work. I think that one of the most challenging issues in the world today has to do with race. And I believe that if we could successfully get rid of it or somehow fix how we think about it, we would get results that would be like the discovery of fire, the discovery of a wheel, or the discovery of jet flight, or, as was talked about last week, the ability to travel in space. I think.
Okay, I'll have to stop you here because you haven't yet hit the mark. I'm looking for you to take a position on something so that some other caller could disagree or agree with you, but you haven't stated yet what it is you're presenting to us as an opinion.
Oh, okay. Okay. Drawing board for that.
Okay, so
my opinion.
No, don't start again because you've blown your time. The next time you call in, and really before you get on air, you should have an opinion about something, a very strong opinion, so that people could either agree with you strongly or disagree with you strongly, and then present their case. That's the exercise that we are going through when we have Free Your Mind Friday. But I thank you very much for calling and getting us started today. Today was not your day. It was not your best day. But next Friday, let's hope. Thank you. Walter from Virginia, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Patrice, and good afternoon to the Utrice Lead family. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm hanging in. Thanks.
Same here. I called a couple of days ago, and I wanted to clarify some of the statements or contentions that I had made. First and foremost, do I believe that former officer Derek Chauvin is a racist? Absolutely. Do I believe that he had some prior interactions with George Floyd? That has proven to be true. Do I believe that he was negligent in the monitoring of George Floyd's health while he was on the ground, which was a contributing factor to his death? Absolutely, positively. Do I believe that that former officer Chauvin, though, will be convicted of second-degree unintentional murder? No. What I do believe, though, he should be convicted of second-degree manslaughter, which is basically a charge that leads to his negligence versus a charge of second-degree murder, which leads to an assault of George Floyd, which caused his death. And so I think
he's facing two specific charges, and neither of them has been raised in what you just said. He's facing first degree murder and second degree murder charges. That's it.
He's facing second degree unintentional murder. And for a conviction of second degree unintentional murder, the state prosecutors will have to show beyond a reasonable doubt that Chauvin caused Floyd's death while assaulting him. And that's the most serious charge, and it carries a range of 10 years to 15 years. The second charge is second-degree manslaughter. And to convict him of that, they would have to show beyond a reasonable doubt that he was negligent and took an unreasonable risk with George Floyd's life when he restrained him, and that his actions put Floyd at risk of death or great harm. I think the burden of proof leads more to the second charge, manslaughter, than to the first. Because when you look at all the video footage of the three different sources, the bystander video, the surveillance camera videos, the CCTV cameras of some of the merchants, and also the body cams worn by the police officers, the evidence does not lead to death by assault. But to my mind, it leads to death by negligence in the video, which is a de facto eyewitness account. You had several opportunities for Derek Chauvin to take Mr. Floyd off the ground. He did not do so. In the video, it shows a woman who identified herself as a Minneapolis firefighter who asked Derek Chauvin to check George Floyd's pulse twice because she felt that he was not responsive and that he was losing consciousness. Derek Chauvin chose not to do that. Officer Lane, who was had a knee on George Floyd's chest, he first said, hey, let's put him on his side. And then Officer King, who was on George Floyd's leg, said, hey, let's sit him up. Both of those, former Officer Chauvin declined to take any action on that. He said, no, let's wait for the ambulance. So in the 8 minutes and 46 seconds that he had him in restraint, that was a contributing factor to his death, but it wasn't due to an assault per se. To my mind, it was due to negligence. When the ambulance arrived and they pulled the gurney out of the back of the ambulance and they could clearly see that Mr. Floyd was unconscious, they did not rush to try to revive him. In fact, they didn't try to revive him until after they put him on the gurney, put him in the back of the ambulance because Officer Lane went with George Floyd in the back of the ambulance and his body cam was still on. And only after a couple of minutes did the EMT actually check George Floyd's pulse.
Now, let me ask you something that might rattle you a bit. What if I were to say, I appreciate your arguments, but you have missed the mark about this case? Is the case about second-degree murder or first-degree murder? Or is this case, what is this case missing so far? And what are you doing in your argument?
Well, and to my mind, what this case is missing is human compassion from Officer Chauvin, who controlled the scene. Once he came on the scene, became the command sergeant, to show human compassion in terms of keeping George Floyd in a state where he was obviously in distress, okay? The video showed that he was in emotional distress.
Let me interrupt you for a second. That has nothing to do with it. The officer is not being charged with lack of compassion. He's charged with first-degree murder, second-degree murder. Compassion has nothing to do with your argument. I mean, it's so obvious. What is missing so far in this case? What is so clearly missing? And everybody is following the lead and picking up on what the prosecutors define as the theory of this case.
Oh, blatant racism.
No, that's not. You can't convict somebody of racism.
Well, then, and what I was leading to at the beginning, which was negligence. He was fully negligent.
You can't convict anybody of negligence. It's a murder case. Not a negligence case.
Right, and for second-degree manslaughter, that's part of the eval criteria or the requirements for that conviction.
Okay, so could I give you a hint?
Sure.
Okay. Don't beat me up for it, but here's the real deal here that we should be wired into, and that is the public is being taken for a ride here. These charges are not supported by any of the arguments being made so far. And that is because there has been no preparation, I see, on the part of the prosecutor to actually bring these charges. Have we seen any reference? Have we heard any reference to medical examiner's report yet?
No.
Okay. So isn't it the case then that the prosecutor in the case is making a charge based on a video of the assault or the clash that resulted in George Floyd's death, not scientific evidence? How do you establish this kind of death as opposed to negligence, as opposed to, well, he slipped and fell and hit his head? Shouldn't there be, from the start, the prosecutor establishing conclusively what the medical examiner's report says was the cause of George Floyd's death? And that is where you argue your case, it seems to me. I don't want to hear about negligence. Yeah, he was negligent. He was negligenced to death. The fact is, we want to know, and we want the prosecutor to define right from the jump, this was no ordinary or accidental death. They have everybody talking about all things outside of the main point. Did the officer cause the death of George Floyd? Did the other officers contribute to the death of George Floyd? And how so? Nothing has been introduced yet. And that's the case. I don't want to hear about negligence.
Yes, that is the case. And there were two reports, autopsy reports. There was one by the state, which talked about the drugs in his system, and then there was one by George Floyd's family, which indicated that he died of lack of oxygen due to the officers being on top of him. So that would be the report that the prosecution would basically put forward. And I would agree with you.
But what's wrong with that?
It was truly a contributing factor that caused the death, but they could also argue in terms of the degree of the charges. You see, that's what I was more getting into, but you're absolutely right. The overall mark of this case is that George Floyd was killed.
George Floyd was murdered. That's the first premise that ought to be established. He was murdered. And it has nothing to do with proving what kind of drugs George Floyd had in his system. George Floyd could have had 10 pounds of cocaine in his system and it still wouldn't be relevant in this case, as far as I'm concerned. Because George Floyd is not on trial. Coven is. The other three officers are, or ought to be. And the whole public is discussing George Floyd as having the main role in his own murder. Everybody's missing that. George Floyd did not cause his own death. We saw it. It was as clear as day. He did not cause his own death. He did not apply his own knee to his own neck and cut off his own oxygen supply, did he?
No, he did not. And again,
all right.
The charges as they're listed, though, and to make them stick so that they are convicted, will probably not lead to murder, but to manslaughter.
Yes, but that's not the point. We're now negotiating without even...
Well, I agree with you, but that's just how the prosecution has set it up.
This is not to be negotiated. Either he was murdered or he was not. We're not talking negligence. We're not talking about... accidental, anything. Was he murdered or not?
Yes, ma'am, he was murdered.
All right. Well, why aren't they arguing that?
Because they're looking at the legal statutes to see which one they can convict with.
No, that's not how it goes. As the Jamaicans say, no go so. No go so.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you
for
helping.
You got to bring your A game, but you did a great job. You did a great job. I just needed to bring you back to seeing, in this short repartee we have had with each other, you see how cases are railroaded right in front of your face.
Absolutely. And that is the underlying point here, because they're trying to railroad it even more by even bringing in a third charge, a third degree manslaughter, which brings even a lesser jail sentence. So absolutely
No, they're bringing a third degree manslaughter because they have nothing to prove. They haven't proven first degree or second degree. So they're shooting for something. Except the case and what the case presents, the charges that should be argued in the court of law, they haven't even come close to it. They're not even mentioning it. And they have everybody talking about things that do not matter. The case was, and should still be, George Floyd died, clearly as a result of police action, and not just one police officer. I talked on the show about Michael Bodden, former medical examiner of the city of New York, talking about how the other officers pressed deep into his back as he lay prone while being, quote, arrested, unquote. But what he said was happening at that time was the compression of his chest. So he really couldn't breathe. Pressing so deeply and forcefully into Floyd's back was a way of compressing his chest and preventing his chest from relaxing and opening as it normally would when you're breathing. Which means that this case should not rest on one police officer who put their hands on George Floyd's back and compressed his chest. That also was the reason he couldn't breathe. So did we do good? Did we do a good job? Are we a good pair?
Yes, ma'am. We are a good pair.
Yes. I think we're a good pair. I gladly receive your analysis today, and I thank you for doing that. But I don't want you to get, you know, blindsided. Discard all the stuff that they're throwing at us. It is because they refuse to prove this man's death, this man's murder. They haven't even raised it. And yet it is central to the case. It is the case. That is the case. Thank you so much for calling in today. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air. What have you to say today?
Well, hello, ultra wonderful Eucheese. Well,
hey, Harvey.
I'd like to go a little deeper as to why diversity is the underlying fabric of nature itself. Diversity is not a curse, it's a blessing. And a fellow by the name of Benoit Mandelbrot was a mathematician who discovered a very simple mathematical formula that showed us that our world, our universe, is fractal in nature. Fractals, that's spelled F-R-A-C-T-A-L-S, are based on something called iteration, I-T-E-R-A-T-I-O-N. You can look up both fractals and iteration on your favorite search engine, which iteration is essentially a repeating pattern that never exactly is the same each time. Every time the pattern repeats itself, it's different. Iteration is why identical twins, who are virtually the same, are still different from each other. Fractal iteration is found throughout nature. For example, snowflakes are considered fractal because no two snowflakes are ever the exact shape, the same shape. The shape of clouds and mountains, as well as our body's own blood vessel system, are all considered fractal in design. Even our solar system is fractal in nature because no two planets are the same. We live in a fractal universe. So I'd like to see courses given at every level of our education system to further define the teaching and teaching the science, psychology, and appreciation of the diversity of all things. And I'm talking about public school, high school, and college courses with names like The Magic of Diversity, The Gift of Diversity, The Joy of Diversity, and The Importance of Diversity. And I believe that life would get very boring very fast if it weren't for diversity in all things. They are, as they say, the variety is the spice of life. And I want to thank you for letting me say that, Eutrice.
Oh, you're welcome. So why are we so afraid of the word diversity?
Well, because we've been those who would like to divide and conquer us, and that's down through time, have always turned it into a curse word, And, you know, like the white supremacists, you know, they think they are the best ones, and they, you know, and everyone who looks like them is the best one. But that's ludicrous. It's childish. It's a scam. It's a scam that's played on us by politicians, by the media, to divide and conquer us for their very own reasons, to create wars, who knows what, by the military-industrial complex. It's always the other, you know. We're taught to see each other as the other, as the enemy. But I'm saying no. Diversity is the gift. I mean, look at food alone. Look at all the diversity in food, and people just love food. But you know, they may love a certain kind of food, but hate the people who create it. We have to change our way of thinking around, especially as we are about to take our first baby steps into space. And I can show you something beautiful that's really beautiful, like the art, the fractal art. So if you go to YouTube and you put in fractal, F-R-A-C-T-A-L, fractal 3D fractals, and just click on that, and you'll see how Benoit Mandelbrot brought this formula into our consciousness, but not only in a physical way, but in an art way as well. I believe also that music is fractal. It's the underlying nature of everything. So it's the gift, it's not the curse, and I think that courses should be given so as to start kids really young, to make them appreciate each other instead of hating each other.
Good point. And thank you for contributing that today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Trees. How are you?
Okay, Ed, how are you doing? You and your thumbs? You hanging in?
you know me too well. Hanging on, hanging in. What point I'd like to make today is, you know how I am about this vaccine situation with the COVID-19 virus. And just another point for your information, if you don't know, Johnson & Johnson is the newest player in this vaccine game. And Johnson & Johnson has over 7 lawsuits pending against it, and has already paid out over $2 billion in product liability suits. Everything from Bayer to AstraZeneca to talcum powder causing cancer to blood pressure and blood thinner medications that have caused ill effects. And I just want people to take note of this. Watch what's going on. They're being lauded with President Biden as these saviors who created who are teaming up with AstraZeneca to make a new one-shot vaccine that's supposed to cover even the variant strains. And, you know, don't get the wool pulled over your eyes, because the media is not the media that it was, and we're not hearing the total truth. These people are deep in lawsuits with mistakes they have made throughout the past, and I don't trust anybody who makes a lot of mistakes doing something that is completely new on the human forefront. So just pay attention. There's a lot of information that is not being told about these vaccines, about the people producing them, and about the companies producing them. And it also stands out, which is not being said, they have no liability if these things backfire. You have no one to take the test. You have no way to get recompense or made whole if these vaccines 10, 5, even a year down the road have some ill side effects that are not being made. These are not the cures. These are not the cure all things that they're being presented to be. And I just want people to be aware that there's a lot of stuff you got to look at. And I am not taking it. I am not taking it.
You're not taking any of them?
Nope. Not
all.
You consign
all of the producers to the same fate, that they are,
yes,
they haven't yet won our confidence.
They can't. I mean, sort of Salk, the polio vaccine, took over 5 years of testing before it was even considered to come out. First of all, the technology is brand new on the human front. This hasn't been tested on any human being up until now, number one. Number two, now you've got different companies. Johnson's & Johnson's, for example, is not a household name in the manufacturers of vaccines. They don't even have the facilities, which is one of the reasons why they had to team up with AstraZeneca. They have the distribution arm, but they don't have the production arm. And if you look at the history of Johnson & Johnson, just take them, for example. $2 billion worth of lawsuits. Cancerous talcum powder that they knew about since 1975. The talcum powder could cause cancer. So, I mean, the players in this game are not, their shirts ain't clean. And stay alert, you stay alive. I tell people all the time, take a look at what, I don't tell people what to do, but I'm saying take a look at what you're doing and make your decision based on the facts. You got to dig. Got to dig.
So what is your response to the fact that there's a crisis, there's a pandemic, and there isn't yet on the market the varying numbers of vaccines that have proven in testing to be, you know, that can help?
Well, okay.
We should be glad that somebody has stepped forward and said, and has gotten the go ahead from the U.S. government, a nice guy like Biden. You know, he wouldn't lie to us.
Like Papa Biden, Papa Joe Biden, he's a good guy.
Papa Joe.
Yeah, but I said it's okay, I get it, man. Listen, couple of things. Number one, vaccine is not a cure. Vaccine is a preventative measure to prevent you from catching something, i.e. polio, i.e. meningitis. These vaccines introduce your immune system to a dead part of the organism to give your immune system a base point to generate antibodies to prevent you from getting it. So it's not a cure, number one. Number two, there are several methods that are out there that have been out there as treatment to people who have COVID-19, and some have been successful. I'm not talking about the hydroxychloroquine. I'm not talking about all those other off-the-wall things, even though there have been some, there are some noted successes with that, but there are combined treatments. There are holistic treatments. There's general health care to deal with the comorbidities of diabetes, of immune disorders, things that you could deal with on your own that are inexpensive, and that treatments are tested and out there. We're in a situation where we have a pandemic, but we still don't have free health care. Am I crazy? I mean, wouldn't that be the first thing?
Yes, you see, there's a plan. They're waiting to see just how many people they have to plan healthcare for. And so the manufacturers would know how much vaccine to make.
So we're in the center of the herd, you know, let enough people die, then we have enough people to eliminate everybody. I mean, it is what Jesus said, if it wasn't true. It would be funny if it wasn't true. And I laugh with you, but this is ridiculous. It's pathetic. And I'm just saying, people need, there needs to be an uprising in this country so bad, because this government does not care about the individual at all.
Well, thank you for your opinion today. Thank you. You did a good job by citing examples to shore up your point. I think you did a good job today defending your point of view. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings, Utrice, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you, and to you too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. A couple of things I wanted to talk about right quick. One, I wanted to talk a little bit about the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, that case. A little bit, and
But are you talking about it from a point of view of an opinion, or is it informational?
A combination of both.
We need opinions today.
Oh, you need opinions today. Okay, very good.
That's right.
My opinion is that the system of white supremacy, racism, white supremacy, is ultimately responsible for the death of George Floyd. They are the white supremacists who operate the system of racism, white supremacy, are responsible for the death of George Floyd. My opinion is that the system of racism, white supremacy, is a war on non-white people, and particularly.
But you're arguing. I have to interrupt because you're off course. You're off point, which is not like you.
Okay.
Not like you. Because you're arguing about a large, amorphous entity being responsible for the death of one single man. We
mm-hmm.
have a trial mm-hmm. ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
We have the alleged killer or killers. We know who they are. We certainly know who the victim was. Let's deal with that. Let's get an opinion about that. So don't take us too broad, because we'll get lost in the sauce.
Okay, well, let me narrow it in a little further here. I think that Norm Stampler is correct about the fact that white policemen are afraid of black men, particularly large black men. And I believe I read somewhere where Mr. Floyd was over 6 feet in height.
Yes.
And
but you're still off course.
Okay.
Speaking theoretically about the case, we have enough information so far to speak a bit more specific about this case. So why are you speaking theoretically about it?
I thought I was attempting to back up my opinion. No, that's what I thought I was doing, attempting to back up my opinion.
No, you just switched from one set of generalities to a new set of generalities. And we're looking lost in the sauce is
mm-hmm.
the central question in this case. And you're not addressing it.
Oh, what's the question? And forgive me, what's the question?
Okay. The question is, and you should be kind of clear by now, because the sides have been defined. We don't necessarily have to agree with them. But the issues have been defined. The lay of the land has been defined. So we don't need to get theoretical. We have some basis to debate this factually.
Okay, now I did tune in a little late today, but what was the question? What is the question?
The question is, whatever it is you choose to bring to our attention, be as specific as you can and make your point.
Okay, well... My point
is that what you're saying, it's not that it's unimportant. You're making a good point, but it's not germane to the case as such. So for today, we'll have to ask you to be a bit more focused and tell us what your reaction is to the case so far as it unfolds.
Okay, well, again, okay, well, my reaction to the case is that I'm witnessing multiple things. I'm witnessing what I understand to be the system of white supremacy in action. That's what I think I'm witnessing when it comes to this this trial. I think I'm also witnessing the Dred Scott decision still in effect, where a white man has no I don't know, a black person has no rights that a white man is, white person is bound to respect. And I'm witnessing, I believe, what this cop said about white cops. This was a white cop. His name is Norman Stampler, and he wrote a book called Breaking Rank. It's a subtitle, A Top Cop's Exposé on the Dark Side of Policing. Now, this Norman Stampler was a former police chief in Seattle, and he said that white cops are afraid of black men.
We've seen this. We've heard this debate before. We've seen this argument before.
Let me tie it into this, though, Yatrice. Can I tie it into this other little point, or am I still off course?
You're still off. Which is like you, not like you at all. The thing is, you have something before you that is presented to us as facts of the case. And you can debate it. You can point out the holes in it and do so without giving us more theory. We don't need more theory right now.
All right.
We need to get to the bottom of this with a very firm analysis of what is happening.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe you're right. But here's the deal. I have a little fear about so-called getting naked on the radio. Okay, for lack of a better phrase. And I'm not trying to do that right now, to be honest with you.
I've never heard it put that way, but I understand it. But
yeah,
you know, I understand your point, and it is very relevant. It is. We can't discount anything you've said so far. It's germane. It is a subject that has been raised time and again, and we know it well. But we do have before us concrete information, concrete evidence that something is amiss here. What is it?
Well, one thing. Just off the side, I would love to hear Attorney Maddox's analysis of what's happening, too. That might be a nice little plug to add, too, for whatever that's worth.
No, you're absolutely right. I tried reaching out to him, but he's occupied doing some other things right now. So we will hear from him, but when his schedule clears up a little bit.
Okay. Well, look, I don't want to take up, you know, much more time since I'm missing the mark here today. I'll try to tune in, listen.
But be clear, it's not like you're missing the mark and you don't have a point to make. It is that we're training ourselves to think outside of the box and to not obey subliminal commands to go where they want us to go.
Okay.
And so you engage your brain differently when you start doing this kind of analysis, and you would be surprised at what becomes so clear so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in the habit of taking, this is what the indictment says. And why do you think that that's the case? Somebody wrote it up in an indictment? No, that's not the case. You're missing cues. And that's exactly what they intend to do. They put together a very official document that says, or that stands for, the state's official position. This is an indictment. No, what you're indicting is your lack or your attempt to confuse this issue. Some of us are real clear about it.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Who is attempting to confuse the issue?
The state.
The state.
Who is saying that the issue here is second-degree murder and first-degree murder? No.
Okay. Now,
therefore, our attention is given to George Floyd. We should be very clear. He's the victim.
Oh, I agree. But
when you start talking about, well, he was a big guy. He was possibly intoxicated. He was possibly on drugs. And you start throwing these things out to get people confused. I'm not confused.
Right, I get you. Now you know that I never said those things about him being on drugs or whatever.
Did not.
But
he
the only reason I mentioned that he was a big guy was in support of this thing that white folks, white cops are afraid of black men, and especially big black men. White cops are, according to a white cop.
That's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Have in front of us. Why does the state insist that none of this that we are concerned about is really part of the case, when it is, in fact, the case?
Right.
Why is the state insisting there's only one person here who needs to be called into account when there were four cops?
Yeah, well, the state is not going to put the system of racism, white supremacy on trial, in my opinion. The state's not going to do that.
We have to start saying that. But the state did not say that. The state is saying one guy did it. One guy we're charging with first-degree murder and second-degree murder, and even so, it's a kind of, you know, fanky charge that he could beat if he has a good lawyer. It's not good lawyering to put this out as a bona fide indictment, because, as I raised earlier, this trial is not going to be dealing with the other three cops. This trial pretty much comes down to George Floyd, in large measure, caused his own death.
Exonerating the go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go for that.
I don't blame you because it's not true.
Well, but it is the record. And we're not fighting the record. There's no groundswell of resistance about what the record says. We have to correct that. But we've come to the end of our program today. I thank you all, as usual, for doing a great job of presenting your views. We're going to get better and better, and I'll tell you what, I make a prediction. We will be the fiercest people on the planet. Nobody could get anything past us because we will know what the tricks are and we'll head them off at the pass. You did magnificently today. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring good things into your life. And we see and talk to each other Monday. Bye-bye.